The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Expanse fans, welcome to episode 12 of The Churn, episode 13 of The Expanse, the finale to season 2, Caliban's War.
That's right.
I'm Cher Martinetti.
Who is that?
And there's a shit ton of people with us today. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
There are.
But first, say hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Well, there's that.
But yeah. It's going to be that kind of show.
Yeah, it's going to be something, guys. I hope you. I hope everybody's strapped in because it's going to get special.
So, Cher, who do we have joining us today?
Well, in the studio, we sound so fancy.
Yeah.
We have James Holden himself.
Hello.
Stephen Strait.
Yes, indeed.
Woo-hoo. And then virtually, we have Naomi, Miss Dominique Tipper.
Hello, hello, hello.
And then somewhere, probably drinking a beer, listening to bad country music, is the one and only Alex Kamal. Say hi, Kaz.
Howdy!
And of course, we have joining us from the writer's room for season 3, so if it's bad, apparently it's our fault, Ty and Daniel. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
They're overjoyed to be here.
Those two really tie the room together.
They're really excited.
I know.
Wow. I'm underwhelmed.
And there is a chance we might have another guest later, but we're trying to figure that part out. So let's talk about the finale.
Yeah.
First things first, right. Like, we want to do like a little recap.
Right.
Shit gets crazy.
It does.
Sure.
That's
is
it.
That's it.
Very
that's
true.
The episode recap right there.
That's the official log line.
The whale came to Holden.
It did.
And that did not seem to go well at first. I'm trying to like not. I don't know.
So basically, let me sum up.
Go ahead. You please sum up because the network cut. I'm thinking is like.
We have three main storylines in this episode.
Thank you very much.
One.
And I didn't even.
There is a proto-molecule hybrid on the Rocinante.
Why are you talking?
What are we going to do about that? This is my presentation voice. I know.
I like it.
Two. Avasarala and Kotiar and Bobby pinned down on the ship that I can't remember the name. It's the Guan Xin.
Guan Xin.
Thank you.
Something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good thing Dom's here.
Yeah, I know. It made it all. It made all the technical issues worth it. And number three. Venus and the Arbogast, and what the hell is going on Venus with the remains of Eros?
And
what?
That was it.
So those are our three big things: the Rocinante crew dealing with the protomolecule hybrid, Avasarala trying to get out of Jules Pierre Mao's ship, and what the hell is going on Venus? And that was it.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. A lot of going around, a lot of bouncing around from storyline to storyline.
So what was your favorite part of the episode?
Definitely not anything involving the crew of the Rocinante.
Yeah, screw the
You're a liar. You are a liar.
No.
Talk about making an episode drag. My God.
Just lying through his teeth right
no,
now.
No, well, my favorite part of the episode, I got to say, no offense to you guys, but Frankie kicking ass is always going to be near the top of my list. And she had a couple of great ass-kicking moments. And one moment where she didn't even have to kick ass because she was so threatening and intimidating.
Charming.
Yeah.
And
charming that she got her way without the actual physical violence. So like that was a lot of fun.
When she was throwing those punches, I have to say, because I'm like such a nerd about this stuff, I was very impressed with the rotation she was getting on those hooks.
Yeah.
And I was seeing that and I was like, oh my God, I really want to go back to Muay Thai so I can beat the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly. I've got some issues. We'll talk about that another time. My favorite.
Well, you know, Bobby's a boxer. You know, Frankie's a boxer, right?
I heard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she could pretty much beat up everybody here right now.
Yeah.
Which
Maybe
is great
not because. Because Steven does Muay Thai.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah,
because his mom was like,
"Don't be modest." Tell him.
Wait, Steven's mom could beat up everybody.
everyone.
That's true.
Really? Steven and Wes together. Steven and Wes together are pretty badass. Those two guys.
The movie Karate Kid is based on Steven's life.
So my favorite part of the episode, this is like a very minor thing, was when Prax says to Amos, "You sure know a lot about the way people die," and Amos's clutch reaction.
I suppose I do. Yeah.
He really like. Mad love to everybody that's here right now, but he really has been my MVP this season. He really has.
He's amazing.
He's done such an amazing job.
Yeah. But that was, so yeah.
And the real evolution of his character, because when Holden basically said, go ahead and kill me if you have to, he wasn't like, sure, okay. And
no, they had
instantly.
A little bromance. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like back in the day, I feel like early show Amos would have been like, sure, oh, yeah. Press his button,
yep.
He's gone.
Yep.
You know?
I feel like there's a bromance Simples. Happening with Amos and James, and I'm like, I'm kind of into it.
There definitely is.
Yeah.
Their worldviews are getting closer and closer
there
together.
Like a, there's like a little behind the scenes footage that we can find out about.
There's that little spark behind the eye these days.
But also, and I will say, Dominique, your speech at the end of the episode, that sequence I thought was really cool and the way it kind of layered.
Did you enjoy that?
I
quite enjoyed that.
I got emotional.
The line I wrote down was something about, it's on my third sheet of notes, which Cher stole. Which is
I actually didn't. I just want you to know Steven stole that.
Something about how weapons never bring peace or something like that. I can't. No weapon ever brings peace. That was a great line.
I just think again, like the show is so relevant to what's happening in the world right now, and especially even last week's episode with the refugee situation and then going on. It's just all so super relevant that I think it just hits home a little harder. I actually. Really loved that I got to say that monologue and deliver it because
and I think
awesome.
it's cool. Everybody in the crew I feel like got their moment this week. You know, Naomi gets that speech, Holden gets the big face off with the hybrid in the
Prody.
He's the mascot for the show.
Yeah, he's awfully cute.
Yeah,
Prody.
He's gonna be like Slimer.
And Alex gets the big barbecue, which was great.
Yeah.
barbecue
and
monster.
You guys know that Prody was Elias from season one, right?
From what?
Wait, that's right.
Yeah.
That's who was punching.
What?
Yeah,
Kenzo.
He was the motion capture.
Brought him back into the motion capture for that. So we now have a tradition of every season we kill Elias Defectus. That's
wait, and he was like wearing some like funky like Wolverine gloves in the cut. We saw the network cut, which was a little distracting.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So like there was supposed to be like a thing attacking you and it wasn't.
And it was Elias with a bunch of
gloves. No, there was like the parts where there's nothing.
Or it was a drawing bouncing.
Yeah, or it was like a drawing moving on the screen.
Now you see.
But how about you guys? Like what would you say? Has everybody seen the finale at this point?
I have not seen the finished finale yet.
Okay.
Okay, what was your favorite part, Dom?
I really enjoyed because the section where me and Prax go out onto the Rocinante to throw the little core thing up. I really enjoyed seeing that finished because obviously in the moment it was all just us pretending to react to this monster. And then to see it finished and the whole sequence together was really, really cool. And I have a really cool behind the scenes video of me and Prax working on that, which I'm going to release after after the finale's finished.
This will be going live after the finale's finished too.
Yeah.
So look out for that, people, if you're listening to this podcast.
So it'll be around the same time.
What about you, Kaz? What was your favorite part of the finale?
What I enjoyed most about that is me and Prax finally get to do some stuff. I really like the ending. The scene you guys were talking about with Naomi and that whole thing where we're in the med bay and talking to Holden, and we got to have a little bit of a fun at the end there. And I really did love that scene that Dom did, that whole speech. I really, really did love that. But for me personally, it was the arc with me and Prax, because we got to start off kind of not liking each other because he was interfering with all the functions of the ship. And he was, in my mind, trying to get us killed. And then in the end result, he ends up being the one to provide us with the idea to save our lives. And I really enjoyed exploring that with Terry, because Terry's a great actor, and we didn't have a lot to do through the whole season. And that one episode, we kind of like built our relationship, and I got to welcome him into the crew at the very end there, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, we've been kind of, I think last week when we had Terry on, we were kind of talking about how he's gotten to have a pairing where he bounces off basically every member of the crew, and how cool that's been.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we also didn't mention at the very end of the episode, we see that someone is back in play, because Fred Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
The molecule.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was definitely. This was an Empire Strikes Back style ending.
Yes.
Relative to last year. Last
season.
That's a
great comparison.
Yeah. Because you're left being just like, oh, shit.
Wait, let me just make sure you've seen that Star Wars movie, right? Because you haven't seen Rogue One.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Wait, you haven't seen Empire Strikes Back?
You haven't seen Empire Strikes Back?
No, guys.
We gotta go. Sorry. Bye. Leg out. Click.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap, guys. Thanks.
Naomi's fired.
I've never really ever watched sci-fi much growing up.
Really?
No. I was always watching MTV and the VMA awards and flicking through music videos. That was my, because I wanted to be a pop star. So sorry, guys, but you know, I'm only 5 years into this profession.
Yeah. Hey, we'll make a geek out of her. Yeah. We'll make a geek out of her yet.
Sweet. Hey. Britney Spears sang on Mars in one of her videos, so, you know, anything's possible.
She did. Oops, I did it again. Yeah, I love that video.
Yeah.
So, Kaz, Kaz, this is the first time we're having you on the podcast, so you are very into sci-fi. You're into gaming, though, right? You're a big gamer?
Totally, yeah. Yeah, me and Ty, we talk gaming once in a while. I've been gaming since I was, like, a teenager. And then I got into it through my voice work. I got to actually be on the games as opposed to just playing them, which I really love as well.
Ooh, what have you been in?
I did Assassin's Creed. I played the first assassin, Altair.
Wow,
that's very cool.
That's cool. I've played games with Kaz.
You've played Kaz. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Have you? You've
played
Kaz.
Played with Kaz.
You played with Kaz.
In a manner of speaking. Yes. I'm sorry, I totally cut you off, by the way, Kaz. Please continue.
Oh, that's cool. No, and then I did Halo 4 and Call of Duty and Command & Conquer. And I think that's it for games, yeah.
That's very cool.
But that's fun. But that's the kind of stuff I love.
So are you a PlayStation?
I'm a PlayStation guy, yeah.
PlayStation guy.
Xbox lost me when they tried to commandeer all of our civil rights.
That's right. I love that PlayStation
Bastards.
That PlayStation 4 ad where it was like, here's how you loan out a game on the PlayStation 4. And they basically hand the guy the disc because Xbox One was doing. Some people are going to get that joke. Xbox One was doing this really complicated digital rights thing. Gamer humor. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a riot.
That went well.
That's a riot.
That's a riot over my head.
Cool story, bro.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Hey.
Good talk. Good talk. Okay.
Don't worry, bro. There's some haters in the room, but I'm with you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Whatever.
Thank you.
I'm an Xbox person, so you can all go screw yourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
So what was, Ty and Daniel, what was your favorite part of the finale?
Did you guys see the cut that had the final death of the Arbogast?
No. Oh, God, yeah.
That's devastating. The death of the Arbogast was... It just isn't something that I have seen done before, and I was really pleased with how that came. We had a lot of conversations about how to make that work and what it needed to look like, and I thought the guys in the VFX crew just nailed it.
But no, yeah, that I mean, I'm assuming that's cool if it says it was described.
Yeah, no, we didn't see that cut.
Yeah,
but we'll have seen
God.
It
Wait
by the time this
it.
Comes
so
out.
Fab.
Ty, what about you? What was your favorite part?
Mine is a really little thing, but during Dom's speech at the end, when we're sort of cutting to the various things happening and Bobby walks off the elevator in the Guan Xin, and just before she reaches the first guy, her visor switches to red. It clicks from clear white
Hello.
To red.
Yeah.
And it's like the she has switched on battle mode, and then she just fucks everybody up. That little click from white to red is an awesome moment in that scene. It's now we're down to business. She just got serious. Everybody's about to get fucked up.
Yeah, I like that too. The part where how you were cutting to what was happening while Naomi was talking. I liked how that was playing out too.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I need to give Daniel some credit here. So that speech at the end, Daniel and I and Noreen all worked on that last episode together, and that speech at the end that Dom gives is almost exactly the speech that Daniel wrote in his very first draft of the script. So it didn't change much through all the revisions. He just nailed it on the first try.
Go, Daniel.
Nice. That's very cool.
Well done, dude.
Golf clap. So what was your favorite part of the finale? Did you?
Well, I haven't seen the finished finale yet.
What was your favorite part of shooting
like,
it?
Making it?
But I will say that I'm looking forward to seeing seeing the continuation of the Ava Sarala Bobby storyline and having that team solidify and see her just kick some ass. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that went.
How many hours would you say you spent pinned under a crate to film that, to film this episode?
A lot. There was a lot of hours. You know, it was cool because it was an interesting challenge kind of going through Holden's kind of mini arc in the episode without moving at all. You know, and, you know, Elias, who was doing our motion capture, was really helpful, and he was there and, you know, gave me a lot of movement and good eye lines and stuff. But it was a really fun challenge to kind of go through that journey of Holden's while being so still.
So speaking of interesting scenes that you filmed this season, Kaz, what was it like to film your touching bonding moment floating through the Rossi drinking space beer? Getting rocked.
Yeah, I mean,
me kind of fraternizing with my lovely lady, the Rossi.
Yeah,
that was honestly, it was one of my favorite scenes, and they got to do in the season in terms of the non-action scenes, because I got to do so much in that one little scene, and they had scheduled it, so I had almost a whole day to do it. I had like close to a whole day, and I got to sing Hank Williams. I got to get a little bit drunk. I got to talk to the ship and kind of evolve that relationship, which I really, really love. And it's something that, you know, I've been talking with Noreen about for the year, like actually since last year, saying how much I was really looking forward to kind of, you know, cause Alex doesn't have any relationships, the way Naomi and Holden, Naomi and Amos and, you know, everyone has somebody to bounce life off of, and Alex doesn't. And so I broached it with Noreen. I said, I think Alex likes to have some kind of relationship with his ships. He started it with the Knight, and he probably was like that with the Canterbury. But the first thing he says to the Knight is, you know, how's my little rust bucket today? And he has a term of endearment with them. So he finally heard me. Noreen kind of got what I was saying, and that scene came out of that conversation, and I was so happy to be able to use the entire ship. I went from the top deck, did that whole zero gravity cartwheel, which was a lot of fun. They had a stunt person there, but I said, no way, I'm doing it myself. And catching the beer and then going into emergency mode where we hear something happens on the radio, and then he's got to stop having fun, sober up, and worry about his friends. So it was a hoot. It was a real hoot for me. I really loved it, and I just loved that whole scene.
You're a hoot.
That Texas terminology stuck, huh?
Yeah.
I was actually just about to ask you, like, do you like Hank Williams? Like, did you already like Hank Williams, or do you now like Hank Williams?
I do now.
Oh, Kaz.
I do. Garth Brooks, Hank Williams.
Oh, Kaz.
Kaz and I are totally simpatico here. I was the only defender of country music during that scene.
No, Daniel. Absolutely. No, Daniel defended it. Daniel defended it.
That's true.
You're all
country music. Country music is
awful. It's awful.
Okay. I love Chris Stapleton.
Who?
I don't know. That he's really good. Chris Stapleton and Preston Sturgis.
Randy Travis. I like Randy Travis too.
No, I'm sorry. Preston Sturgis. I'm such an idiot.
Oh, Sturgill
Simpson.
Go back to Sturgill Simpson. I mean, there's a huge wealth of amazing music. If you don't like it, that's fine. I'm just saying
You're also shitting on a lot of people who do like it.
I'm not shitting on the people. I'm just saying that's my personal taste.
That's okay.
It's my personal taste.
Yeah.
So
but it's good to know that the
this
classics...
side of the room, the three of us, know what's up.
That's right.
And and Ty.
But it's good to know that the classics survive that far into the future.
We'll say that. But let's be clear. I think, I mean, I don't know if James and or Corey will agree with me, because I remember reading something in one of the novels, because I wanted to explore this as well. We just haven't had a chance yet. But Alex listens to country music, but I think there was also a mention of him listening to some kind of country Bhangra fusion.
Yes.
So there was some kind of like Indian Pakistani fusion, like a Mars kind of evolution of the music that came from the various cultures that formed it. And
that makes sense. I find is very
interesting. And we haven't heard that yet. I think he's listening to it on his headphones when he's jamming on the Canterbury and stuff. But
I'll get to dance to it next season.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys had the original Belter, you know, house music that.
Yes.
What was it?
What, the one coming off Eros?
The street music.
Yeah, but there's also been reference that the Martian music is not very good.
Well, I mean, if it's like country. But are you guys...
Yeah, I'm not sure about country.
Steven just shit all over that.
I'm like, nope.
Like,
sorry.
I would have been more impressed if you were like hanging out listening to like some Led Zeppelin or something and like getting your drink on in the Rossi. That would have been it for me. But are you guys going to have that hybrid type country music next season? Because you did have original
music.
Well,
and I guess, yeah, that's a bigger question for Ty and Daniel, just in terms of like the pop culture of this universe. Are we going to see and explore more of that next season at all? If you can.
I hope we do. Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of things that are kind of laced in there. We've had like Mae's Misko and Morisco, backpack is in there. There's the idea of having the Belter culture be as rich and full and complete as a normal human culture would be is absolutely part of it. And as much as we can fit it in there, we'll include it.
I do want to write an episode where a very special episode where Naomi decides to become a pop star.
I told you, musical crossover. Make Steven sing the song that he sang in Sky High. Make Dom have like a whole dance number. Kaz, you can do like a whole country western thing. It'll be like how, you know, in Archer when Cheryl becomes like a country star.
Yes.
Kaz could become like Space's first major country star.
Yes.
That's Space a wonderful
cowboy.
Idea.
Yeah. I am so up for that.
And
Bobby can be his percussionist, and her percussion is just punching people in the face.
Yes.
I'll even dye my hair red again for it.
Yes, and get those awesome flame tattoos.
Get some extensions in. Oh yeah, man. I was young. I was still finding myself.
It's too bad this is only a podcast. We could really use some visual aids at this point. But
yeah, we could.
But come on, guys. How adorable is Steven in that movie?
So
he's
angsty.
Adorable.
He's so angsty.
So angsty.
It's such like a parody of 90s angst.
It is. It's a very John Hughes angst right there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
War and Peace.
That was my real hair.
Strong work.
Believe it
or
not.
I'm forever calling you War and Peace now. I'm actually, now that I have your number in my phone, because I had a text you to see where you are, I'm going to put it in as War and Peace. Shit Magnet, which is Ty, and War and Peace.
Wonderful.
We're good.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
So what was your favorite part of this season? Like, let's go a little bit bigger.
I guess, and do you want to say from a viewership standpoint or from a like making it standpoint? Like, what was your favorite part to make or shoot?
Those would be different for me.
Okay,
right.
So both.
Same.
So first, let's go around. What's from a making standpoint? What was your favorite part to shoot?
My favorite part to shoot was actually in the episode before the finale, where Holden is finally fully consumed with his obsession with the proto molecule. I mean, it was a long time coming. It was a very deliberate, slow, organic kind of descent into a very dark place. And the payoff as an actor was to finally just have him be fully consumed. And then to be able to come back out of it. So that was a really kind of fulfilling thing for me.
It's really interesting you said that about the progression of it, because I felt the same way. It was like there was never a point where suddenly, like, now Holden's Breaking Bad. It's just kind of happened very slowly. And by the time you got there, you're like, holy crap, how did we get to this point?
Yeah.
He's lost, you know?
I really wanted it to be earned, you know? Yeah. And I did quite a bit of research this past season on PTSD and trauma. And in talking with the psychologist for the Canadian military and dealing with that, you know, I just wanted to pace it out and show this kind of slow consumption of his ethical compass. And then, you know, by the time, you know, it really hits the fan in that episode and Naomi's no longer there, he's left to his own devices and his own darkness. And to be able to just portray that in an organic way was really, really fun. But as a viewer, it was Eros hitting Venus. I mean, I loved the whole, the kind of romantic kamikaze into Venus. I thought it was really moving.
What about you, Dom? What was your favorite part?
I actually have so many. So I'm going to narrow it down to three, like the making it side of things. My relationship with Cara G's character, Drummer, I loved exploring because it was, I hadn't really had another woman around me. And so for me and her to go off and play handball and dance and kind of work out who we are as engineer women in relation to each other, I just loved doing that with her. And she's just awesome. And very much building my relationship with Thomas Jane's character, with Miller. I loved all the Naomi and Miller scenes. They were some of my favorite to shoot. And for sure, the refugee scene in the last episode, because it's something that is really kind of close to my heart in with what's happening in the world right now. I really struggle with seeing what refugees go through, and to kind of tell that story in our own way and put that on screen. I felt really privileged to be able to do that. And also I really struggled to hold myself together shooting it. So it was kind of like this all encompassing experience that I loved to watch. I mean, I think what I'd like to watch this season is the change up in the pacing and how I just think season two is a massive improvement on season one. And I've actually really enjoyed watching it as a viewer, the whole thing. I mean, it's just been like a roller coaster. So, yeah, like all of it, really.
It's funny because Stephen mentioned, you know, Eros crashing into Venus. And I was like, oh, yeah, that happened this season. So much has happened since then. I remember thinking when that happened, that was like a season finale worthy moment. And where do you go from there? And it just picked right up. And there was so much happening between then and now.
I mean, I've told people that like have not started watching the show yet, like with season one, that it's definitely laying the groundwork. And it's like you get so much payoff and reward in season two for all that groundwork. Yes. So it's like you really do. You know, it has some great moments season one, and I'm not like shitting on it at all. But I think oftentimes in TV, like television shows have that sophomore slump. This one absolutely did not have a sophomore slump.
No.
Which is kind of amazing because I can't think of many other shows that had really strong second seasons like this one has. Kaz, go ahead, Dom. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I think there's something to be said for the creators of the show of having the kind of will to stick with having season one being the place where we create this world and these characters and all the kind of political stuff that's going on, so that we did get the payoff in season two. So I'm glad the viewers have been patient and like we done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Kaz, what was your favorite part to shoot and what was your favorite part to watch?
Well, first of all, just to bounce off what you just said, because since season one and season two has been airing, I've had kind of like the fun of going to a few Comic-Cons around the world. I just came back from Dubai and I did a couple in LA and the Midwest. And it's always fun because usually Wes contacts me and says, "So what are the fans saying?" I'm like the little litmus test of what's going on. And last year when season one had aired, I was getting people coming up to me and they're like, "Expanse, it's supposed to be good, right? I think I'm gonna check it out." Like, I was, even though it had been on the air for a while, I was getting a lot of like people who hadn't really heard about it, but heard it was good, but were about to get to it. It was DVR'd or whatever. When season two hit, and this was probably 2 weeks ago that I had the most recent experience, people would see my sign, there'd be a squeal, and they'd rush and mob the table. And before I even had a chance to even greet them, they're spewing out all the most favorite and incredible parts of the season that they love. And they're asking me questions about Bobby and Avasarala and the proto. What's going on with the proto? What the hell is that? And it's like, they know everything about everything. They're quoting every little detail and they're totally juiced about season two. And the most interesting thing is that they're saying, we didn't know how you were going to top season one, but now how the hell are you going to top season two? And it felt so good. And I just wanted, you know, the writers and everyone to know like how appreciated the season two jump is, like what you just said. There's so much payoff in season two and the fans are really, really registering that as far as what I'm getting.
And little do they know that we ruined season three.
Yeah.
So they don't have that to look forward to now.
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
Well, you know, I think in thinking about the series in and of itself, it's one complete package. I mean, the first season is in essence a mystery, you know, and the plot happens to these people and they are reacting to it in the first season. And the world is being built through this kind of slower paced, mysterious kind of world building. And then the second season, the characters themselves take control of the plot and take control of the story. So it ends up moving a lot faster, but they don't work without each other, you know? So you can't really have one work without the other. So it's one complete package. And again, to our creators and writers' credit, it's very ballsy writing and it's very ballsy filmmaking. You know, it's like they really trusted us as performers to be able to pull those moments out and keep people engaged, and they trusted their story. So, you know, kudos to them. It's been really fucking cool.
So you guys are going to be super famous probably like after this season.
Oh my God. What are we going to do?
That's so crazy.
That's so crazy.
I want to say my favorites though.
Yeah. I was going to say
my favorites.
Let's hear it.
Kaz, I'm glad you got juiced in there, by the way, in that little last chat. Yeah.
Oh, did I?
That's a juiced up for season two, you said.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay. I have to get it in every season. So in terms of my favorite as a viewer, there's a couple of things I really love. I really love the Avasarala Aaron Wright arcs. Season one, it was a little more reserved and very political and intellectual. Season two, I just loved how visceral and how amazingly emotional and passionate it got. And I loved watching Sean Doyle. I loved his arc. I loved where it went. And Shore had such amazing scenes this year. Her stuff was so powerful. I really just loved that whole Earth thing. I was a big fan of Steven's descent into madness, the Holden PTSD kind of breakdown and recovery. That I really appreciated a lot. And what was that? Oh, and lastly, the Miller denouement, the grand finale in episodes 4 and 5, where Miller finally meets Julie in Eros. That was an incredibly moving and powerful segment in terms of storytelling, I found. And I just loved watching Thomas's work on
there
that.
There are a few of those this season. That one and the other one that always gets me is the one we talked about it last week with Terry, with the scene where all the refugees spaced.
Yeah, okay, but then of course, because Ty and Daniel have to be ruthless, they do it to two people in the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are fucked up.
Yeah. Personally, I really enjoyed my little evolution with Amos. Him and I had a whole arc of about 3 or 4 episodes where we started off kind of buds, and then we came to a head. There was a lot of friction, and Amos went through his real, really dark kind of storyline, and Alex was trying to keep up with him and figure out what the hell was going on. And I really enjoyed the dynamic between Amos and Alex. That for me is a very enjoyable kind of subplot, is these two completely, completely different human beings that somehow manage to enjoy going out for drinks together. And they always end up shooting the shit together. And that I find that polarity between the two of them a really interesting kind of odd couple.
And I loved where it showed up. The moment I think of is 2 episodes ago when they've just thrown the grenade and you know, the hybrid escapes and there's that whole, and Alex comes in, he's just like, why are you the one getting shot for? There's like that little moment of camaraderie between them that's really funny in the middle of this like super tense situation.
Yeah. Really? And he calls me out on, and he calls me out on when I say, me and Rossi, we came down, and he went, we?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like they get each other, even though they completely don't understand each other, they get each other. It's kind of like two little misfits. And I really enjoy that relationship that we started to evolve.
That's cool. We had a question from Reddit. We put out that you guys were going to be on the show, and somebody was asking, is everything that we see on screen scripted? Do you guys improv at all with what's coming on, or are Ty and Daniel sitting there with sniper rifles ready to shoot you if you go off script?
No, I mean, yeah, we tend to follow the script, but we collaboratively work to adjust things if they're not working when they come out of the character's mouth, because sometimes that just happens. But the one bit of improv that did happen this season, which is probably one of my favorite scenes as well, is the Teddy the Detector scene when we're having our lasagna all together, and Miller tells the story about the cheese farts. We improvised the end of that scene because it was a really difficult scene to end for some reason. And so we just improvised it and it got kept in, which is one of my just favorite moments.
Look, when Thomas Jane decides to improvise, you just get out of the way.
Go with it.
It's true. True enough.
Yep.
Ty and Daniel, what were your favorite parts of the season, both to shoot and then to watch?
My favorite thing to film was actually in season one, where we shot a little side story where Dominique shoots me.
Which can be found.
And then walks away from my cold corpse. Mostly that was fun because I actually got squibs, and I had never been squibbed up before.
Can I see that video of that, please?
We got it.
Yeah, it'll be an extra on the DVD. I mean, it's really hard to top just for like emotion and feeling like something has paid off. It's really hard to top Tom and what happens on Eros. And it's such a beautiful send off for that character. I mean, there's a million things. Like literally every character has had one moment, at minimum a moment this season where I was like, okay, that's it. That's the best thing that we've done ever. Like there's nobody who doesn't have one of those, but if you add them all together, as amazing as they all are, it's just hard to top Tom in those last moments. And Clint and Shorter, our composer, composed some of the most beautiful music for the show for those moments. And yeah, I mean, it was just, and Bob Monroe, our visual effects guy, did some of his best work. I mean, it was one of those moments where everybody who works on the show came together to do their best work. And Mark and Hawk, who wrote episode 5, you know, they're the guys who wrote the pilot. Episode 5 is of season 2 is the episode they've been waiting to write for 2 years now. So of course they brought their A game. I mean, nobody fell down on that one.
And Daniel?
The thing that I mean, it's not a moment. It's kind of I'm going up to the 30,000 foot level and looking at the whole arc of the season. But one of the first things that Naren Shankar said when we started this project was, you know, that he wanted the kind of warmth and rapport and trust in each other that the Rossi crew has at the beginning of book one to really be where we landed in season 3. Because he wanted to have all of the experience of these characters getting to know each other. And watching the Rossi crew grow together into a family over the course of really the second half of last season, but mostly over the course of this one. You know, these folks are absolutely the spine of this huge story with all of these other things
going on around them. These four people are the thread that pulls it all together. And watching those relationships deepen and watching that crew become something really important to each other, that makes me feel like the project is working. That's the thing that makes me feel best about the whole thing.
And you had a big payoff for that in this episode, in that final scene in the med bay, you know, where it's just kind of the family gathering around Holden when he's injured. And it's cool. And it's kind of the same thing I was saying with Holden's journey through obsession. It's, you never get that moment where where it's a hard break and suddenly they're a family, you know, it's never telegraphed that clearly. It's just kind of happens. And then you get to that scene in the med bay and you're just like, oh, wow, they've got this chemistry now as a group. And it's just there. I thought that was a really cool payoff for that whole
life. I mean, it's great right up until Naomi ruins it by being a big stinky liar.
I was just about to say, I just take the wind right out of that moment.
Good job, Naomi.
She's just a liar.
Just a liar.
Pants on fire.
But you know what? She has, wait a second. She has very good reasons for why she did what she did. So
valid.
I'm Team Naomi, and honestly, I don't think Holden deserves her.
Wow. Sitting right next to me. That is really something.
I said it.
You know, Cher, if you break the two of them up, that doesn't mean Steven's going to start dating you.
I'm surprised it took this long into this recording for you to bust my balls.
We do love Demolition Man the same amount.
Yeah. And we're both Italian.
That is true.
Who doesn't love Demolition Man?
That's true.
Well, apparently Sylvester Stallone doesn't.
That's true. Yeah.
I love that.
That's such a good, right? I was saying how I watched it again like a month ago and I didn't remember it being as funny as it is.
Blonde Wesley Snipes.
It's awesome.
Wesley Snipes is the best in the whole movie.
It's so good, man.
That movie is peak Wesley Snipes.
Absolutely. He is worth watching the entire thing. But the part that like really sent me over the edge laughing, which was not meant to be funny, is that when Sylvester Stallone gets like brought up out of cryogenics and you see he must have like three Merkins on because like you could see through the ice this big black and I just started laughing my ass off because it's like how much did you need it was just
there's a lot of priceless moments in that
that was definitely one of them. That was definitely one of them. Like I said,
and we very nearly had
funny.
A moment like that with Wes in this episode.
There's a little update. There's a little update. All season long, we know Adam's been the ultimate Steven stan.
It's true.
Even though I'm the one that gets shit, he's the Steven stan.
Yeah.
But he told me today before you got here.
I think there needs to be an ab off. An ab off between Wes and Steven because that was...
He said...
Agree.
Yeah, right?
An ab off.
So I think before next season, instead of doing the sumo suits, we're just going to get... We're gonna get Wes here, and then you guys are gonna have to take your shirts off for.
And I have to be there.
Maybe a little Greco-Roman
obviously
wrestling.
You're gonna be here,
And I'll have the numbered cards like they do for the dunk contest.
So you're gonna have to get back into the Covenant shape.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I should start training now, I guess.
And you have to cut your hair.
I'll bring some spray Pam to spray you guys down.
Wow. Yeah. Little wrestling contest.
And Kaz,
season
if you
three.
It's gonna be great.
Kaz, if you want to come and show up with Alex's belly prosthetic too, that's
which you love so much.
Well, all right,
which
so
I love so much.
There's like this creepy cardboard that exists of Dom. Like on eBay or something? Where was that creepy cardboard cut out of you?
What?
There's this crazy, creepy, you could buy a full-size cardboard cutout of her.
No.
This is a real thing. Goodness. And I was like, oh my God, you should get that and then make it spot, like every time Kaz walks past it on set, make it yell at him to do like abs or work out like in dodgeball. But she said she's like, I could just do that in person.
She's got it.
Is the cardboard cutout flipping the bird?
I'm sure we could arrange that.
Yeah, because that would be more convincing.
I know how much you love it, Kaz.
All right, so now, finally, we have joining us Bobby Draper herself, Frankie Adams. Say hi, Frankie.
Hi, this is so fun. It feels like we're all like best friends having a little group chat.
We are.
Hey, Frankie.
Hi.
So we're obviously talking about the finale, which Bobby had quite a few badass moments. Actually, this whole season, you've been a badass. What was your favorite part of the season to film?
I really liked shooting the post Ganymede PTSD stuff, because that was like a completely different view of Bobby. Before that, you just kind of saw the soldier marine version of her, and then that was sort of a little more emotional, and you got to see that she had feelings, which was nice to play.
Yeah, that was, you did an amazing job with that scene. You're welcome. Have you been watching the show?
Yeah, I can't really watch it in New Zealand unless I do it illegally, which, by the way, I don't, guys. but I get to see the episode every week. So I just watch it as they go. So I haven't actually seen the finale just yet. But okay. I've just seen snippets.
So far, what's been your favorite part to watch?
Probably me eating cucumber sandwiches.
Yes. Same for everybody.
That was my favorite part of last week's episode too.
I loved you loading up
on those cucumbers. That was funny.
Are you in fact an actual fan of cucumber sandwiches, or was that purely acting?
I'm a fan of eating, so it helped. But no, I don't really. Never really eaten them, actually, to be honest. It kind of seems a bit pointless. They're so small.
Yeah, but like, what's the point of a cucumber? It's just cucumber on bread.
It's a delicacy, man.
It's like it's British.
Is it a British thing? Hungry, I don't know. Advise it.
Dom, is it a British thing?
It's a British thing, right? Cucumber sandwiches.
I guess so. Yeah, you'd have them with like afternoon tea and stuff. Because I was about to say, I quite enjoy a cucumber sandwich.
But seriously, it's literally, is it really just cucumber on bread?
Yeah, with some cream cheese.
With butter or cream cheese,
That's not a sandwich. That's a cracker. That's not a sandwich. I don't know what that is.
That's like,
So far we've insulted country music fans and fans of the cucumber sandwich.
Get a meatball sub on that ship.
We're being like such like East Coast elitist right now. We're like,
it's really bad.
Country music, British food. Get out of here.
Come on.
Get some pizza. Which, by the way, space pizza looks horrible. Wait. We have a very important question. This is very, very important. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no, Adam?
Wait, why?
Just answer the question.
I plead the fifth. No, I'm kidding. No pineapple on pizza.
Fuck no.
Thank you. I was going to be like, get out.
Pineapple.
Yeah. What about you, Frankie? Pineapple on pizza?
No, pineapple. I'm from the islands, man. It should be fresh. It shouldn't be cooked on a pizza.
There you go.
Has pineapple on pizza?
Oh, hell no.
There you go. We have a consensus.
Ty and Daniel?
Yep. Live with it.
Wow.
So, you know why I'm asking this?
I don't.
Okay, so last week, during the live tweet, before it started, they took a picture of the writer's room and there was a pizza with pineapple on it. And Ty's giving a finger to the camera. And I was like, I am more offended by that pineapple on that pizza than I am by Ty flipping off the camera. Which then turned into, I made a poll, and then it turned into like everybody started fighting on Twitter.
Pineapple Gate.
During the show about pineapple pizza, which then spilled over into the Badlands because Oliver from Into the Badlands got in on the conversation because
he's a very good friend of mine.
Right, and he follows us both on Twitter. So he saw me and Dom talking about it and ripping apart pineapple on pizza. So it's now like a thing.
Wow. Huh.
So yeah, everyone...
turned into a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
So when the shooting war starts, we'll know where it came from.
It'll be over pineapple.
It'll be over pineapple on pizza.
So I have a question for Frankie. You dealt out many ass whippings this season. Yes. What was your favorite ass whipping to deal out?
Actually beating up Peter Outerbridge was pretty fun, but I love him, but it was kind of fun because that was the first kind of proper ass-whooping Bobby got to experience. Yeah. But then episode 13, where she comes across the two guards, that was cool because there was two of them. And it made me look really cool.
And you got the, you got the great 80s action hero mic drop line. The little oops at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
That was great.
My bad.
Who is one character that you want to see that you wish Bobby would get a chance to go head to head with and like fight and beat up?
Oh, definitely Amos.
Definitely.
I would love to see that. That would just be cool. It would just be cool to see those two go for it. I mean, in the real world, I probably would get totally knocked out, but Ty's got my back, Ty and Daniel, so hopefully they'll just write that I win.
I don't know. I don't know if Ty's got your back.
But it will look cooler if Bobby wins that fight for sure.
So is there any chance that we might see a Amos and Bobby
throw down
next season, guys?
I would say no. And the reason that you won't see that is because Amos is too much a respecter of the game. He's going to take one look at Bobby and say, I can see that she's a serious player in this game. I have no need to prove anything. And just take round for a few.
It's like Kodiar's moment with her where she threatens him and he's like, okay, you're cool.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, exactly.
Well, in the book,
BS sounds really good, so I don't mind.
In the books, there's a moment when Amos, having met Bobby, says, yeah, no, I'm a talented amateur. She's a professional.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Yep.
Yes.
Do you have any more questions from Reddit?
The other question I wanted to ask Frankie, particularly about Bobby Draper, was a fan favorite character from the books. What was that like, I guess, coming into a situation where you were, did you feel pressure from that because it was a fan favorite character that people were really kind of banking on how it was cast coming into the season?
Yes. Definitely. I don't think I would be human if I didn't feel that. That was I already like knew that she was so popular, and you know, me being the human that then got attached to it is so scary because I would probably bring something different to another actress, and so it was a lot of pressure, but I trust that it was okay.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right. I really enjoyed it in the end, so the pressure kind of, I didn't really pay too much attention to it once we started filming and everything.
So, Frankie, I know that, you know, Dom's on social, Kaz and Wes are on social, Steven's not. What's your stance on social media?
I'm a bit of a hippie, but I have Instagram.
Instagram's the good one.
I used to have Twitter. I just kind of took a break last year and just wanted to live normal life. And so, I just got back Instagram, but not Twitter.
Okay. So have you had an experience with the online fandom of the show at all?
Yeah, I have actually. It's been nice. I've had a few marriage proposals.
Oh.
Which is very, very different. But not getting married anytime soon.
I think there was actually a marriage proposal for Dom from Reddit when we asked.
We posted, do you have any questions for anybody who's going to be on the show this week? And someone asked if Dominic would marry them. So Dom, what do you say?
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Well, I'd like to meet them first to see.
Yeah, it's not forward, right? It's like, what about, something?
That's so old fashioned. This is the internet age, you know, you don't need to meet in person.
How did
you guys see Catfish? Come on, you don't need to like meet somebody to have a whole relationship.
Yeah, it works out great every time.
Every single time.
As long as 100%. The Rosie crew can be my bridesmaids,
there you go.
I would actually pay cash money to see the Rossi girl? Crew, the guys absolutely. All in dresses.
We look great in blue. The same.
So. And I guess I'm looking out through the Reddit thread here for more questions from the fans. How do you guys, I mean, so when the announcement this season 3 was renewed, I guess people want to know kind of what the reaction, I mean, I will say everybody's happy that you guys have another season coming. What was that moment like for you guys? Where were you when you heard about the renewal? Stuff like that.
I didn't even know that it had happened because I was in Samoa.
You were where?
Samoa.
Okay. I hear you.
That's where Bobby and Frankie are both from.
Frankie, Bobby.
But it's a Pacific island, so I hadn't really like paid too much attention to the internet at the time. And then my boyfriend messaged me being like, congrats. So I kind of put two and two together and figured that we had gotten the third season, and I was really stoked.
What about?
I was in Italy at the time. I think I was in Saturnia, and I'd just been having a dip in a thermal spring. And yeah, we got season three. I was like, yes! So that was fab.
Man, I was just at home. People on Pacific Islands and in Italy
eating some
Cheetos at home
with pineapple on it. You know.
Never, yeah, never,
yeah, yeah,
never.
He's Italian,
exactly. That's like,
I'm pretty sure Daniel and I were actually here working on season three.
When yeah, you should
note,
be.
No, you guys.
That we were doing season three.
Actually, you guys were getting ready to start the podcast with us because Daniel had just gotten off the phone with your agent and he wouldn't say, we asked
that's
what
right.
it was about.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. So I knew that. That
yeah, but our agent's not the one who told us. I mean, our agent found out and was like, hey, congratulations. But we were actually with Narain Shankar, the showrunner, when we got the official notification.
The official, official?
Yeah.
What about you? What about you?
They didn't let us like have a break between like well, should we be working? It's like we're just gonna do this in case we get renewed. And so
You asked me about season three.
We were actually finishing post on the last episode of this season and doing work on season three at the same time when we got the official notification. So yeah, we never actually stopped working on it. They just let us know that we were gonna get paid for it. Which cool. is nice.
All right, and Kaz, where were you when you found out about season three?
It was my birthday when I found out about season three, wow. March 15th.
That's a good right. birthday and present.
It was an amazing party. Birthday present. And I was working on the set of The Strain, getting the crap kicked out of me and having a birthday. So it was a really, really a great day.
We actually, the Rosie crew, we have a WhatsApp group and we were talking in it before we got the renewal. And Kaz actually said, oh, you know, it's my birthday today. It was so good if we got the renewal. And then we got it.
So cute.
Do you remember, guys?
That's very cute.
I do. Yeah.
Steven's sitting here nodding his head yes in agreement that
I
that
am.
Actually happened.
I am.
He's fact checking. Hey,
that's right. When that's right.
I don't know if I was the first one to find out, but I sent into that WhatsApp group. I went, "Happy birthday to me!" And I told them I just got the email, and I think they had already received the email as well. But
so that's how you guys find out
very,
over
very
email.
Exciting.
You get email sent to you.
I get it by carrier pigeon.
Yeah. Do you get bike messenger? Yeah, you get right. a bike messenger.
Technology.
There's someone with a lantern in a window across the river, and it's two lanterns. It means you got renewed.
That's right.
Year.
They burned the whale oil, yeah. and that's how I know.
You don't know how accurate that joke actually is.
It is accurate.
Like non-technology.
We're a running gag. Steven is anaphylactically allergic to social media.
Just technology in general.
That's like how Eddie Murphy doesn't have a computer in his house.
I'll take a comparison to Eddie Murphy any day of the week.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. That's like the only thing you have in common with him.
No, I'll just take it. I'll take the comparison.
So Frankie, we've always asked like the rest of the cast, like other if they were into sci-fi. So were you a fan of sci-fi or genre before the show?
Unfortunately, not.
Well then, there's no
problem. I asked the question, and I was like dreading this question because I was like, oh no.
You can swear. It's all right.
Yeah, you can swear. Don't worry about it.
Shit, I don't know. But I have seen a lot of sci-fi, but I didn't actively pursue it or anything.
Have you at least
on the expense?
Have you at least seen Empire Strikes Back?
No.
Oh my god.
See?
Wow. We've got a large portion of the cast hasn't seen that.
That's like a problem.
We should do a screening when we go back to Toronto.
I need to write this down. So what's it called again?
Empire Strikes Back.
Oh my god.
Okay,
I love you, Frankie.
Frankie.
Hey, I'm just being honest, mate. Come on.
Good for you, Frankie. You don't be ashamed.
Me too.
There's this cute little film called The Godfather you might want to check out too.
That's a great movie. Go ahead.
So someone else from Reddit wants dirt on Wes since he's not here.
Yeah, do you guys want to talk shit because Wes isn't here?
Who wants to start?
Open up that WhatsApp group. Let's see what the texts say.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody has a Wes story.
Oh, he's like the sweetest dude ever, like in real life.
I will say that one time Wes and I drank $600 in tequila shots in a single night.
That's true.
Why is every story you have about the cast have to do with being drunk on tequila?
Because that's what we do with him. You don't talk to him otherwise.
No, you had a story about Stephen being drunk and talking about, what was the thing that you want to read in Latin?
Oh, what, Mark?
Oh, Marcus Aurelius.
Yes.
Yeah, that did happen too.
When Stephen and I get drunk on cheap Italian beer, we wind up talking about philosopher cubes.
That's right.
That wasn't tequila. It was cheap beer.
Yeah. It's just our thing.
It was cheap Italian beer.
Yeah, Peroni.
There you go.
Who doesn't have that kind of conversation when you're drunk?
After like 30 Peronis, we're like, yeah, Marcus Aurelius.
In the original Latin.
Right.
It's a normal conversation.
Sure. Yeah, of course. And anyone has those conversations at 3 a.m, right? No?
All the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about
that
you guys?
The story about Wes and Ty is probably my most favorite drunk tire story ever. So
why? What did
you should get Wes to tell you that one time.
Oh,
it is pretty good.
It's a good one.
Pretty good.
But he's
you'll
the thing is, I can drink almost anyone under the table, but I ran into my Waterloo with Wes.
That seems really fitting for Amos. Also, that seems like a fit. It's a good fit for Amos.
It is.
I wouldn't expect him to be a very good drinker, though, because he looks like he's like so into working out that you would think that
he's an ex-military boy, though.
There you go.
He earned his bars in the Navy.
You just drink Peronis.
I just got drunk for no reason. There's no reason.
I think wasn't the story about him when he was on the show that he's the biggest prankster among the crew?
Oh, for sure.
You and him had pranks, right?
Well, yeah, and he does this thing. I'm not good with technology, but he's got this thing where he what is it? It's a video. He kind of photo bombs people all the time.
What? Instagram stories?
Oh my God. You guys need to describe it because I don't know what I'm talking about.
On Instagram or something.
Oh my God. It's an Instagram story? Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, someone other than Stephen tell this story.
Yeah, so basically Wes would keep setting up these weird Instagram stories. He kept setting up ones with me where he would creep up behind me and I'd have to act unassuming, and he'd turn it into this kind of horror thing. He got really carried away with Instagram stories for a while. And obviously no one can see them because they disappear, but I'm sure he'll be doing some next season and I'll get roped into being in them.
Who's the biggest corpser on the
Who's the biggest
the crew?
What?
Who corpses
me
the most?
Me and Wes, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Once we get going, if me and Wes get the giggles, oh God, Stephen gets so annoyed.
Do you?
Also true.
The end of the Wet Willy scene was pretty funny.
The end of the what? I'm sorry?
The Wet Willy scene where Holden tells us that he's sleeping with Naomi. And then when Amos goes up to Holden and says, just so you know, everything's okay if you're sleeping with her. And I mean, I'd do her too if she let me, but she's like a sister to me. The two of them, Wes and they tried
barely
to
hold
this,
it together.
They tried to pull off this deadpan thing. I don't know. We must have done 13 takes because those two kids couldn't stop laughing.
It was Wes. Wes couldn't hold it together.
Tell them about Wes trying to crack you up while you were doing your scene.
Oh, geez, oh my God. That's
my favorite story. That's my favorite moment on the show.
Okay. So we're
that's
doing
a good story.
It's an amazing story. So we're doing this, fairly serious scene. Mm-hmm. And, Wes, assuming, that he's off camera, is, making all these funny faces to get me to crack up. And it goes on for a while, a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Wes, it's your coverage, man.
The
camera's on him the whole time. I was like, that's fucking incredible.
That definitely has to be a Blu-ray extra somewhere.
The video's got to be around there someplace.
The Blu-ray reels are always
and he's
full of
Wes. Rolling his eyes and thrusting his hips at Steven. It's just like, dude, how did you not know the camera was pointed at you?
And you just kept a straight face.
Kept it straight. It was like, yeah, man, keep going.
This is great stuff.
This is great stuff. More rope.
Emmy nomination stuff right here.
That's right.
So I know a couple people on Reddit actually asked if you were, what was the question about wearing contacts?
With me?
Yeah.
When you perform.
When you perform.
No, I don't. I just can't see anyone.
There's just like no lenses in those glasses right now.
No, I can't see at distance. So on set, it's easy.
Okay.
So like if it's close, if I've got to yell to someone at the other end of the, you know, the studio or something, that's
then you
a problem.
Can't see anything.
No, I can't see anything past like 15
feet. Can you
see
feet. Like over here?
Can you see this? Can you see that?
Can you see this?
Can you see this? Can you see?
The funny part being no one listening knows.
That's right. We can cut this out and post. Exactly. It's okay.
It's great. So what's everybody, I mean, I guess without getting into spoiler territory, what's everybody looking forward to with season 3 with your characters? I mean, obviously we can't say exact story beats, but where would you like to see things go?
I haven't read past a certain point in the book, so I don't actually know what's going to happen, but I'm really interested to see what pans out now I've told Holden that I gave the proto molecule to Fred Johnson.
Oops.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to go great.
The opening scene of season 3, the opening scene of season 3 is Naomi floating through space after being
probably
shut out the airlock.
Probably. Oh. I'm actually interested to see how it affects the whole dynamic of the crew, actually, because I don't think the other two are going to be particularly happy either.
Yeah.
True.
You just threw or a whole wrench in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely fucked it, and I
sure did. I can't say what I'm looking forward to. That's a spoiler.
And you've read,
no way.
You've read forward in the books. Yeah.
Well, how far are you in the books?
I've read the first three.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Kaz, have you read the books?
I'm about to crack open at Abaddon's Gate when I get back to LA in a week. That's I've just finished Caliban's War last year, and that's it. I try to read them simultaneous to when we're shooting so that I've got it all fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
But what I'll be looking forward to is I'm like I said before, I'm loving the evolution of the friendship between Amos and Alex. I really hope that gets deepened. And Alex went through a big evolution with I mean, I don't know if everyone caught it, but he's letting go of his past life and embracing the life that he's been thrust into. And it's kind of given him his identity. And I think there's some room to explore because no one really knows what he has left behind. And if you remember from the first couple of episodes when he was talking to Drummer, he told people that he hasn't told his family that he's alive. Like his family still thinks he's dead, a hero who died on the Dunnager, and he hasn't bothered to tell them. That's a really major thing not to do. So I think there's a lot to be explored there for him. He's got a bit of a backstory that nobody really knows about.
Oh, trust me, Cass, that's going to come up.
Oh, is that one of my many deaths?
What? Does Alex get a lot of deaths?
No. He's always threatening to kill me in virtually every season, virtually every episode.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there should be a support group for people that Ty verbally abuses.
It's called the cast and crew of The Expanse, right?
I've become the Kenny from South Park of The Expanse.
I never abuse Dominique. I'm kind of scared of her. There you
go. That's right.
Frankie, what are you looking forward to in season 3?
I can't wait for Bobby to meet the Rossi crew eventually.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yes.
Well, I did most of season 2. After the Ganymede scenes, I was kind of alone for a while and it was really hard. But then I got to do all those scenes with Sharae and Nick, which was cool. But I'm excited for her to have scenes with these crazy people.
Yes.
It's going to be good to have another Martian on board.
There you go.
So, another woman.
There we go.
But wait, is Alex going to give her some lasagna? Are you going to make her a lasagna?
Of course.
Okay.
Lasagna all around.
That's a hospitable thing to do.
But it's interesting because it's interesting the recurring themes because Kaz mentioned Alex, you know, leaving the life he had behind and embracing this new role. And kind of Bobby's going through that same thing. Where she's not a Martian Marine anymore, and now she has to kind of find herself within the situation.
I think
that
we
she's
all
in
are.
They all are.
Be honest.
I've discovered the key theme of the show:
lasagna.
Yes,
lasagna.
Lasagna.
My keen detective work.
Yeah. That's Alex's job, is to keep pasting things together with lasagna.
It's remarkably effective.
Did you see that recipe on our site?
I did. I saw a lot of lasagna on the internet. I'm getting so many lasagna tweets.
She, the writer who put it, like who made it, said it surprisingly came out really well, considering that it had no cheese and no tomatoes and wheat-free pasta. it sounds like a abomination.
It's not really lasagna.
True Martian lasagna.
Yeah, I'm so insulted by the Italian representation in this show.
But meanwhile, but you know what's the problem? Alex is going to make lasagna for Bobby, and Bobby's going to be like, where are the cucumber sandwiches?
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's going to fall flat.
Do you have any more questions from Reddit?
I think that was mostly it. Yeah. That's what the internet wanted to know.
So should we do shout-outs?
Sure.
Okay, so guys, we do, at the end of every podcast, a shout-out to whatever you're into right now. It does not have to be genre-related.
Doesn't have to be entertainment related.
Yeah, it could be anything. It could
knitting.
Be a book. Yeah, it could be really anything.
Yeah.
So, Ty and Daniel, what are you guys into right now?
I only have one option this week.
Okay.
I have to shout out The Expanse because there is literally nothing else in my life.
There you go. Good shout out.
Except for this podcast.
Right. This 5-hour long podcast.
Which has slowly taken over your whole life.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Ty?
I finally got to see Get Out, and it was as awesome as everybody said it was. I just sat there smiling that entire movie. It made me so happy.
It's really good.
I really want to see that.
Yeah, isn't it? It's available on home video rental, I think.
Already?
Next month.
My God.
Yeah.
I need to go see it.
I'm dating myself because I remember the time when it'd be like a year before things would come out on VHS. And...
yeah. You'd have to go to Blockbuster to get
it. Hey, Dom. Dom,
you're dating yourself, bro?
Totally dating myself.
Dude.
No, yeah, that movie is fantastic and everyone should see it.
Ty, what did you say?
I just said you're going to love that movie.
Yes, I know. A few of my friends have been like, go see it, but I haven't had a chance.
Dom, what is something that you're into right now?
I would shout out to... I'm actually reading two books. I'm reading one about astrology because I'm really into birth charts and reading them. So a shout out to that. And I'm also reading one about quantum physics. So shout out for that too.
Do the books have names?
The first one is called it's called The Knot of Time or something. It's one of the astrology schools in London. It's part of the curriculum, so I'm reading that. And my quantum book I'm reading is by Brian Cox and the other guy, his mate. It's called Everything That Happens is Supposed to Happen or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or Everything That Happens Will Happen or something. That's the quantum one. It's fab.
Frankie?
Okay, so I've just recently discovered these really good apples and I've eaten them every day. And so I think that's probably the most exciting thing. And also a shout out to these like really awesome 80s track pants that I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. 80s track pants? What brand are the 80s track pants?
Oh, what is it? Crazy Wear USA.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
With two E's.
That's the best shout out we've had so far, though.
I don't even think they make this sort of stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I said that those are the best shout outs we've had so far. I'm going to get an apple right now when we leave the studio.
Yeah. This is what's happening in New Zealand, guys. It's all a go.
Kaz, what are you into right now?
I'm really looking forward to going to see Logan, but now I want to see Get Out. It sounds great, but Logan, I'm a huge fan of the comic book that happened, the Old Man Logan comic book, and I heard that the Wolverine thing was actually pretty good, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay,
I love Wolverine,
and I'm unshouting out, but I'm unshouting out Iron Fist.
Okay.
Because right. I was really disappointed in Iron Fist. I was really looking forward to it, and it was not what I was looking for. So.
What about you, Mr. Strait?
I'm shouting out Thomas Wolfe, Enough Time in the River. That's what I'm into right now.
You're getting all deep.
No, it's
everybody's so dude.
I know.
It's the best. It's some of the best writing about New York City that you can find. I think it's really, if you're from here, it's a really great book to read for sure. I mean, it's a great book anyway, but yeah, that's what I'm into.
I don't really know. I mean, I'm going to shout out in a shameless plug, the Sci-Fi Wire team that's currently down in Orlando at Star Wars Celebration. There's going to be some cool shit coming out about Star Wars, The Last Jedi, which I am very much looking forward to because I'm an enormous Star Wars nerd. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of that.
Cool.
There you go.
Chet Martini. How about you?
What are you into?
You know what? I'm going to shout out. I just finished reading this book. I actually read it really quickly. It's Who Thought This Was a Good Idea by Alyssa.
By the person who wrote that Pepsi commercial?
Oh.
Wow. Oh.
Hey-o.
Well done, Swiderski.
Thank you.
But no. It's by Alyssa. I'm going to say her name wrong. Mastromonaco. She was the deputy chief of staff to Obama's White House. So it's a book about her time in the White House, and there really hasn't been a book like that for women, written by a woman. But it's actually just a really good book, I think, for women to read. It's funny, it's smart, and it gives a lot of insight to stuff like the inner workings of the White House. And
mansplaining.
Yes. But no, Alyssa, I genuinely like her. I've seen her do interviews and stuff like that, and it's a really good book, so that's my shout out.
Very cool.
So that's it.
That's a season.
Oh
my God, you guys. Congratulations.
Actually, I want to give one more shout out. I want to give one more shout out to Threshold Studios
in New York City.
Indeed. Where we record our podcast. And
they put up with us for many weeks.
Put up with
our
us because Adam is just the worst.
It's true.
He's so intolerable. And and shout out to all the fans and everybody. And everybody that does the live tweets. And you guys are awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to The Churn. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this.
Of course,
man. And shout out to the cast for making their time out of their schedules with everything else they have going on for participating in this during the season. Shout out to Steven's car driver.
Well, no, and
he's a trip.
The final shout out, I think,
has to go to Ty and Daniel. Yes.
Definitely. Aww. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this.
So much for agreeing to do this, guys. From a little idea that we had last year at New York Comic Con, and it came and turned into something. So thank you so much for your time and for your resources and for the ball busting. And for writing these books and
creating this amazing playground for
show,
us to
I
play
think we're
in.
All grateful to that. So,
yay!
Thank you guys
for coming and turning this into what it's become. It's awesome, and it could never have happened without all of y'all.
And with that little love fest, we will see you guys season 3.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some extra stuff happening during the off season. There might be. But as always, if you're listening on iTunes or on Google Play, you can stop by, leave us some love, and we'll see you guys
for season 3, hopefully.
In the interweb. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.